I have got so much to say this morning. And I have got to give you an overview. I've got to give you an overview of what I'm trying to project to you, because some of you I'll never see again. And if I don't get you the overview and then come back and teach it to you, then I'll leave a wrong idea or a wrong impression within you. And once again, I'll have to state that it's taken us 6 months. It's taken us 6 months to get to a point where we can receive the word you'll hear today. Now, it's been by the grace of God. I thought it would take 2 years. Now, let's pray. Lord, this is your hour. Lord, I pray, first of all, for the ears that will hear this today. Lord, I pray that the ears hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church today. Lord, then I pray for myself. Lord, I am a willing vessel. But Lord, I pray that what we share today will not just be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, I want us to learn this truth, but Lord, I want us to take it now and see the kingdom of God manifested. First and foremost within us, then in this church, this local assembly, and then, Lord, in this city. Lord, let us not simply be ever learning, but never able to come unto the truth. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. I fasted this week. I've asked the Lord, please don't let me say anything not scriptural, anything that would offend. But then he quickly lets me know that the word is sent to offend. Yeah. That he came not only to bring peace as the little baby Jesus, but to bring what? Division. Luke 12:51. And what you'll hear today, tonight, and possibly the next two services next week will divide you in yourself. Yeah. It'll divide you with some people that you really love. Because if you go with this, you'll be different from the rest of the church world. And let me say this offhand, I am not presenting this to you for your consideration. I'm presenting this to you as truth. Mm-hmm. This is as settled in me as salvation. This is truth to me. And if it was not truth, if it was not settled in me, I would not present it to you. Now, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I first got to get you a foundation to build upon, and then we'll go. It is very necessary that we understand what the church is for. Not just what the church is for, but what God's purpose has been for all of the ages. Yes. If you do not understand and have no comprehension of what God's purpose is in our life, you've missed what God's doing in you, in here, and in this city, and in this world. Yes. You got to know what His purpose is. Now let's go to the book of Genesis right off the bat, and let's clearly understand what the very purpose of God is all about. If I don't get you this, then the rest of it won't make any sense. Now the majority of you can tell me right now what His purpose is. You've heard me say it so many times that you've learned it, that you've seen it in the Word now. Nobody has to tell you the purposes of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, now the primary thought of the book, of the first chapter of the book of Genesis, is the seed. Every kind of seed produces after its kind. And the life of the seed is within the seed. The nature of the seed is within the seed. And all the way through the book of Genesis, God has the seed and it produces after its kind, after its kind, after its kind. Then He comes to verse 26. And God says this, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God's initial purpose is to have a man, a people in His image, a seed people, a seed man, who would be an overcomer. Let him be over, over, over. And you can start in the book of Genesis and you can go to the book of Revelation and it's still he that overcometh.
Yes, amen.
Then in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. The word image is primary importance. What image was man initially created in? God's image. God's likeness. A seed, the image of the seed, and the nature of the seed is within the seed. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Did He just want one man? Did He just want one son? How many is multiply? Are you with me?
Yeah, many.
We've got to multiply, multiply. In the book of Acts, it talks about how they multiplied. First, there was the 120 in the upper room, and then there was 3,000, and then there was 5,000, and then they couldn't count them anymore because they were multiplied. They multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion, kingdom, dominion over again. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, God's primary purpose is to have a man, many, in His likeness, in His image. From Genesis to Revelation, it never changes. And everything else that is in the Word of God is built around that primary principle, that primary purpose. Everything. Now, hold your finger there and go to the book of Romans. I'm coming back to Genesis. Go to the book of Romans in the New Testament. Chapter 8. I want to show you that the purpose of God has not changed, has never changed. It always has, it is now, and it will always be to have a people in His image. Look at verse, well, let's start with 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His what? His purpose. He is going to right now reveal to you His purpose. And you have been called into it, predestined for it. You have come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You're sitting where you're sitting by the ordination of God. You're going to hear what you're going to hear by the will of God. It's planned this way. Verse 29. His purpose is, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. That word means molded, conformed, to what? To the image. Now, how did God create man to begin with? In His image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among multiplied brethren. Do you see that? Has His purpose ever changed? What was His purpose in the beginning? A people in His image that will multiply. What is His what is his purpose in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29? People in the image of Him who will multiply. All the way through the Bible, you're going to find that principle. Now, man blew it. But before he blew it, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to give you this type, because if I don't get you this type, then we lose it also. In chapter 2 of Genesis, I'm back in Genesis. In chapter 2 of Genesis, the one man was alone. Now, there were a lot of beasts. There were a lot of beasts out there, and man began to name them. But he could not find him a comparable helpmeet. He couldn't find somebody that he could have total intimacy with. Man cannot have total intimacy with animals. God can't have total intimacy with animals. It is a relationship of a man and a woman that becomes totally intimate. Husband and wife. And God wants that same relationship with you. Now, with His church. Now look in verse 21. Well, let's go back to 18. Chapter 2. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Now let me read you what the Amplified Bible says. The Amplified Bible says this. Now the Lord God said, "It is not good, it is not sufficient or satisfactory that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable, adapted, and completing for him." Man's helpmeet must be, this is a law, must be suitable, must be adapted, must be a completing part of himself. Can it be any other way? Can man have a wife who is not suitable, who is not adapted, and who is not a completing part of his being? No, it won't work. So God, the first thing that He did for man was give him a woman. Now, woman, this woman is the first type of the church. Who is the woman in the New Testament? The church. Now, this is frightening. This is frightening to me. I could not marry a little girl, 10, 9, 8 years old. Could I? I have to find somebody compatible. Somebody who is a completion of myself. And the church world hollers and screams, "He's coming any minute." But I look at the girl, I look at what is supposed to be the woman without spot, without wrinkle. What do I see? What do you see? A little girl, a little child, 10, 11 years old. Would it be right for the Lord Jesus to come and be intimate with a little child? Would it be right for the Lord Jesus to come and judge the world when we're no different from the world? How can He come and judge a world that's full of sin when the church is still full of sin, just like the world? You see, He can't do that. Man fell in chapter 3. And in verse 15, let's read it. A promise was given. And it's still concerning the seed people. God talking to the serpent, and He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God tells the serpent, "Serpent, you're gonna do some bruising of some heels. But finally, one day from the woman is going to come a seed people who is going to give you a devastating death blow and crush your head." Do you see the thing that I'm trying to project to you? It's all the way through the Bible, the seed and the people. There's a seed people. God's purpose is to have a people. And you can run them from Genesis to Revelation. And everything else is built around this seed people. Everything. Now, let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians. I'm still trying to make sure you get the purpose before I go on. Ephesians 1. I could talk about a whole lot of things in Ephesians 1 about predestined and predestination and all of these things, and they're important and it's relevant that you understand them. But I can't linger on that. I've got to get you this fullness of time aspect. So let's look quickly in Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. This is the will of God. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath what? Purposed in Himself. Within God Himself, Christ Jesus was slain on Calvary's cross before you and I, or He, or it. I mean, it was all done prior. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? It was all purposed within Himself. He's going to have a people, you and I, purposed within Himself. You'll get it. Verse 10. Now look, that in the dispensation of what? The fullness of times. The dispensation of the fullness of times. This is the consummation of the ages I'm reading to you. This is what it's all come down to. The fullness of time. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. His eternal purpose is to have a people gathered together, the saints who have gone on before and us who are alive and remain, to have them together. That's His eternal purpose. That's what the consummation of the ages is all about. His purpose never changes. Do you see what I'm showing you? Is to have a people. Everything else is nearly incidental to that principle throughout the Word of God. I'll get on over here. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter 2. I'm talking about the Lord's coming. First Peter chapter 2. We learn again about these people. This people. But you are a chosen... I'm in verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a what? A peculiar what? People.
Hallelujah.
That ye should show forth... You're going to show something. What are you going to show? Praises. You're going to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Now verse 10. Which in time past were not a people. Which in times past were not a people. But are now the what? The people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let me show you two thoughts. You got to get two thoughts here. First of all, it is not a definable people. God's people are not a national people. They're not a geographical people. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's people is not national, natural Israel. Who is the Israel of God? You are. Galatians 6:16. You are the Israel of God. You are an undefinable people. There should be no national boundaries on us. There should be no borders. Do you hear what I'm saying? No, you don't. Because the second thought you've got to get there is the first thing that we want to do, the first thing that we want to do when we bring somebody to the Lord is come to my nation. Come to my nation. Well, I'll put denomination in front of it. Maybe you'll get it then. Come to my denomination. And we nationalize the whole people that God says should be not nationalized. Am I right? Now, I know that by name tag, I wear a nation. But you better believe it's only by name tag only. And that the first thing we want to do is get everybody to come to our nation. And it's just like Babel. Everybody's talking a different language. And nobody's together. This corner says this thing. And this corner says this thing. And this corner. And nobody's talking together. Nobody's building the house of God. And what they do build is made with bricks baked together by man's abilities and stuck together with slime. God doesn't want a national, natural people. He wants black ones and yellow ones and white ones and green ones. He wants all people. And God doesn't want Baptists and Methodists and Assemblies of God and Presbyterians and Catholics. He wants all of us. We're a people. Not with a national or a denominational boundary. Now that's God's purpose. I got to show you how God's bringing in this seed people now, how he's come through the Bible with it. Lance, I need two seeds. Jim, will you get the lights for me? Throughout the Bible, you will see two seeds. It begins in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. You have a righteous seed and you have a wicked seed. Righteous and wicked. Everybody say righteous.
Righteous.
Wicked.
Wicked.
There's your list. Adam and Eve, righteous, the wicked, the serpent. Noah, the wicked, the world. Righteous, Abraham, wicked, Nimrod. Righteous, Sarah, wicked, Hagar. Righteous, Isaac, wicked, Ishmael. Righteous, Jacob and Israel. Jacob, who is Israel, and the wicked is Esau. The righteous is Joseph and Benjamin, and the wicked was his 10 half-brothers. And I just told you what a half-brother was. Righteous is Moses, wicked is Pharaoh. You see what we have done, let me back up to the half-brothers. We have made everybody half-brothers. That's not God's purpose. We are responsible for making the half-brothers. God wants us all to be of the same family. Righteous Joshua. Wicked Canaanites. I don't know why Knights got capitalized. Righteous is Ruth. Wicked Orpha. Righteous is Samuel. Wicked is Eli. Righteous is David. Wicked is Saul. Righteous is the righteous kings. Wicked is the wicked kings. Righteous is the true prophets. Wicked is the false prophets. Do you see that in the Old Testament? Is it from one end to the other, the seed?
Yeah.
Two seeds all the way through. Two people, righteous people and a wicked people. New Testament. Jesus and the devil. Same two seeds. Peter and Simon Bar-Jonas. You see, something happens in the New Testament. It's no longer me and you. It's me. Do you get that?
Amen.
Jesus told Simon, he says, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, Simon Bar-Jonas. But my Father which is in heaven." And no longer will you be Simon Bar-Jonas, but you're going to be Peter. There's going to be a transformation in you. A new man, a new creature. New creature. A new creature. Paul, who was Saul. The new man, the old man. How about Revelation? Same thing. How about the mark of the beast and the mark of the Lord? Both have a mark, don't they? Is that right? Is that what it teaches?
That's right.
I don't have time to expound on the mark of the beast and the mark of the Lord. Most of you understand what that is. Revelation. What about the woman of Revelation 12? The righteous woman standing upon the sun, upon the moon, the powers of darkness, clothed with the sun, light. 12 garlands or 12 stars in her head, showing her dominion. And Babylon, the harlot. Both have daughters. All the way through, from one end of your Bible to the other, you have two seeds, the righteous and the wicked. You got that? Now, to most of you, that's old stuff. But I've got to lay this. How will it be in the last days? Matthew 24. Matthew 24. If you've got your Bible, you turn to Matthew 24. Because I will blow you away if you do not see what I'm fixing to show you. Now, how many in this assembly, in this building, is going to allow the Word of God to prevail again above everything else? How many is going to allow, I'm going to get you to raise your hand in just a second, how many is going to allow the Word of God to overrule everything you've ever heard, everything you've ever been taught? How many? Raise your hand right now. All right. Get their addresses, Lord. In the book of Matthew, in the 24th chapter, Jesus is answering questions of the end times. It's one of the greatest prophetic utterances in the Bible. He tells them there will be rumors of war and there will be wars. He says, but be not troubled, the end is not yet. It's got nothing to do with it. He says there'll be false prophets. He says there'll be false Christ. The end is not yet. He tells you what will bring the end. Somebody tell me, what's going to bring the end? The gospel of the kingdom. The word is going to bring the end. Can you handle that? And if I tell you that I'm helping to bring it, can you handle that? Now, in verses 32, 33, 34, and 35, he tells us about the parable of the fig tree. And I don't have time to get that, but I will. I promise you, during the course of these four messages, I will explain to you the parable of the fig tree. But what I've got to get you right now to see, while I've got your attention and while you're ready, is this truth. What I'm fixing to show you is going to change your life unless you can argue with the Word of God. It changed mine. He tells us in verse 36, of His coming, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, it is true that I do not know the day or the hour, and neither do you, or neither does any other man of God. They can't tell you the day or the hour. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, he does tell me that I could know the times and the seasons. And how do I know that it's going to be fall? The leaves change, things change. I just know, right? Yeah. How do you know it's going to be summer? You see the blossoming of things. Weather's changing. How do you know it's going to rain? You see the cloud rise. You see, I can see seasons and I can see times. And then in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, he says something magnificent to me there. He says he will not do anything, nothing, without telling his prophets first. Now, the appearing of the Lord will come as the thief in the night to those in darkness. But it also comes as day to another group of people. Now, we're going to look at light and darkness. We're going to look at Babylon. We're going to look at the scriptures. You will know some things about the coming of the Lord that not many people know. But now all I got to do is give you an overview. Let you see a truth. Let you see why it is so important. So very, very important that you hear what I'm fixing to show you. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, as the days of who? Talk to me. Noah. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood. Now, what is the flood? What can we liken the flood to in New Testament teaching? Tribulation? Judgment? Right? As in the days before the tribulation, as in the days before the judgment, they were what? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. But you gotta see something. That do only the wicked, quote unquote wicked, do only they drink and eat and marry and give in marriage? They don't? Okay. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now the whole thought you got to understand in this teaching is the ark is Christ. The ark is Jesus. And they knew not until the flood, tribulation, judgment came and took them all away. Now, I don't want to trick you. Who is them?
Wicked.
Them is the wicked, right? I don't want to trick you now. This is too important. Them is who?
Wicked.
Took the wicked away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, who was taken? The wicked. I'm not tricking anybody, right? You see that. Everybody that's got a Bible and sees that, raise your hand. All right, not tricking you. You got to see this. All right. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Who's taken? That's not the rapture. Come on now, is that what you've been taught all your life? Who wants to be taken? Well, if I'd asked you this 30 minutes ago, you'd have raised your hand. Now, what I have just showed you is constant throughout the Scriptures, just as the seed. Which seed of God is always left? Which is always taken? It's constant that way. Now, I haven't got you confused and I haven't got you tricked, right?
Amen.
Who's taken? The wicked. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two, isn't it interesting that he uses women?
Church.
Two women. Babylon and the church, the real woman. Two women shall be grinding the wheat, the bread, the word, at the mill. And one shall be taken. Who's taken? Are you sure? And the other left. All right, let's see if we got it. First of all, what's God's purpose? To have a people conform to the very image of His Son. The image of God. Jesus says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, it's all the same plan, and it's all the same purpose. And right here, you got to see who's taken and who's left. Who's taken? Who's left? The righteous. Good. Now, there is the teachings. And I was taught it. I taught it also myself. I no longer teach this, that any minute He will come. Because I can discern signs and seasons. And I see a little girl, a little baby girl, trying to grow. But I see her now. I used to couldn't even see her. But she's a baby now and she's coming. And she's starting to get herself ready. But as a whole, right now, the Christian world is fragmented. The Christian world is divided. And the nations are at war with one another. And they get on the television and they get on the radio and they blast each other with their bombs and their hand grenades and their tanks. Am I right? You know I'm right. Tongues are of the devil, one says. Other one says, yeah, you can get salvation, but then you're going to fall and go to hell. And they blast one another. And you got to do this and you got to do that. You know I'm right. How can He come and judge the world when the church is no better? And some of the most wickedest people I've ever seen were Spirit-filled people who could talk in tongues and prophesy. How's He going to judge it? He can't come until... Until what? We're going to get this, but real quick, go to Acts 3. All this I'll get, I promise you. I'm just giving an overview. Acts 3, let's... verse 20. Acts 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must what? Until. How long is he going to be there? Until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his prophets since the world began. Now let me read you what the Amplified says, if I can get it. Heaven must receive and retain until the time of the complete restoration of all God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets. So now all we got to do is understand what the restitution of all things means. Now real quick, let's go to Hebrews. This is not what I'm wanting to cover today, but it's just necessary that I hit it. Hebrews 10. This is the most unique scripture in the Bible. It's quoted about 10 times throughout. In verse 12. But this man, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Who is that? All right. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. How long is he going to sit there? Until his enemies are made his footstool. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 24. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Greek word parousia means appearing, presence, at his coming. Then cometh the end. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now look at verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. How long will he reign in heaven? Until he has put all enemies under his feet. Now how's he going to do it? Does the head put the enemy under the feet? Or does the body put the enemy under the feet? The head tells the body to do it and the body responds. Who is the body of Christ? All right, I got to get off this now. Who wants to be taken? Matthew 25. I'm going to go fast now. Now, let's go to Matthew 13 first. Matthew 13. Jesus has told a parable about the seed and the sower. Who's never heard that parable? All right? But now here he's also telling one about the parable of the tares and the wheat. Right? And they bundle the wheat up and cast it into the fire to be burned. Huh? They don't take the wheat and burn it. Well, that's what most of us have been taught. Verse 33, he's talking about the leaven that gets into you. If you can hear what I'm saying to you, it's going to get in you and it's going to change you. That's 33. But verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away. Now, you see, the multitude is not hearing what the Lord is saying. Who's hearing it? The disciples, the disciplined ones. And sent the multitude away and went into the house. What's the house? Okay. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The field is what? The world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. We all got that. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Now what's taken? The tares of the wheat. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall catch away the righteous. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Who's leaving and who's staying? Some of you aren't sure. Who's leaving and who's staying? According to what I'm presenting to you, who's leaving, who's staying? Gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Where? Up yonder somewhere? Talk to me. Where? Right here. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the church world still isn't hearing it. In verse 44, he talks about the treasure. Once you get a hold on this thing, it becomes as a treasure to you. You want to get rid of everything else. Ain't that right, Roger? So you can have the kingdom. And then in 45, he talks about goodly pearls. Man, possessions become like they just don't matter anymore. This is all that counts. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good and threw them away. Gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. Who's going? Who's staying? So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever, take, catch away the wicked from among the righteous, the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now I know this is brand new to some of your ears, and you're hearing it, and you know what I'm saying, but it is so difficult because it's contrary to everything. And what is rejecting it right now, you're seeing it in the Word, you're hearing it in the Spirit, but your flesh, your carnal mind says, uh-uh! It's going to take me three more messages to get you to really see it. Now, Jesus took his boys. He says, I've expounded to you now that the wicked's going to be taken and the just is going to be left on earth and to establish the kingdom and the righteousness of God shall shine forth. He says, have you got it? Yea, Lord. We got it. We got it. We got it, Lord. So Jesus goes to the cross. He's crucified. He's raised from the dead. He's buried. He's raised from the dead. He comes back in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. They come up to him and they say, Jesus, are you going to establish your kingdom now? Is now the time that you're going to establish your kingdom and give it to Israel? Hey, I thought you had it. Don't you understand? I guess I'll have to send the Holy Ghost and give him to you. Maybe he can help you. Because you see, first, the wicked's got to be taken and severed. Babylon's got to fall. It's got to crumble. The righteous has to shine forth as the sun for God. And we're still doing it today. Well, now let's see. Who's taken and who stays? Oh, now somebody tell me, because this is important to me. And so we sing about it. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll just over in the glory land. And Jesus is up there. No, no, you don't got it yet. But I got to take away the wicked, and Babylon's got to fall, and the whole thing's got to be changed around. You got to shine forth as a new sun. Just over in the glory land. Am I right? And I'm going to cover all this, I promise you. I'm just giving you an overview.
Praise God.
Do you see why I have trouble with hymnals?
Yes.
They're either telling you, you're going someplace you're not going, or you're going to die.
Yeah.
I don't want to go anywhere, I want to stay here. Do you, or you want to get caught up? Which one? What in the world is going on here? Okay. I got so many notes. I want to go, I think, now to the book of Psalms and give you some scriptures from there, and then maybe come back to the book of Luke and see if all of this holds true and give you some thoughts to end up with today. So let's go to Psalms, first of all, 91. I need to iterate right now the filling in the Spirit. First of all, When an individual expounds and studies and teaches on such things, he immediately gets labeled that he does not believe in the rapture. That's not true. I don't like using the word rapture. I like the word catching away. Harpazo is the Greek word. That's not true. There will be a catching away. It is there. There will be the violent snatching away of the people of God. But it is not the way you have always been taught it. Secondly of all, people that teach these things get labeled as not believing in heaven. No, that's not true either. Heaven is very real. There are different dimensions of heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. You see? And it is not what you've always been taught that heaven was. But it is very real. Heaven is the throne of God. Heaven is where your beloved ones are sitting if they died in Christ. They're sitting in heaven with the Lord Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Lord rose into the heavenlies. So let me make that perfectly clear. Okay? I just go by the word. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I don't go by what somebody's told me. I've got to see it.
Yeah.
And then it's got to settle. I just don't hear it one time and then blabber it. I've got to see it. And this has been in me for a long time. Now, Psalms 91, there's the aspect, and you know the tribulation, and yes, there's judgment coming. But first and foremost, we wrestle not against USSR. We wrestle not against the Soviet Union. We wrestle not against atomic bombs and nuclear warfare. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's first and foremost. That's the thing you really wrestle against. And you're going to have Armageddons in your life before you'll ever have an Armageddon over there in Jehoshaphat's Valley. Right? That's right. Now, I'm lots more interested in the Armageddon that you're having in your individual life than I am ever interested in that Armageddon over in Jehoshaphat's Valley. I can't do anything about that. I can help you with yours. Amen? So that's where I'm coming from. And now, understanding the tribulation. And tonight, this will be my main focus point, is to see how that the people of God are protected through this time. But right here in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, understand, this is not every church. This is not everybody that labels themselves Christians. This is not just everybody. This is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Do you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Just because, as we talked before, just because one of these squeezed bottles is labeled jelly, does not mean jelly's in the squeezed bottle. And just like you take that thing home, you squeeze it, and mustard sometimes might come out.
Yes.
Right? And you get squeezed, and you're labeled a Christian. I'm interested to see what comes out.
Praise
you see?
Yes.
And everything that's labeled Christian is not Christian. He says, in the last days, he says, all those that say, Lord, Lord, I've cast out devils in your name. I've done many mighty works in your name. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see? So what I'm saying is these are the people that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. They shall abide under the shelter or the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Of pestilence. Does Revelation talk about, if you want to take it strict tradition, does it talk about pestilence? Will God deliver you from it? Yeah, if you dwell in the secret place of the Almighty. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. What does Jesus say? Does He say, worry about wars and rumors of war?
No.
Be not afraid. The end is not yet. Be not troubled. For shalt be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of thy night, nor for the error that lieth the day, nor for the pestilence. Does the Revelation talk about pestilence?
Yes.
Not for the pestilence that walketh. Does it talk about darkness?
Yes.
Walketh in the darkness. Nor that destroyeth that watereth at noonday. A thousand shall... Oh, we love this one. We just love this scripture. A thousand shall fall by thy right side and 10,000 by thy right hand. We're out of context, aren't we? But it shall not come nigh thee. They'll be falling all around you. The judgment of God will be getting them all. If you go straight tradition, He still can't get to you. Why? Because you're hiding in the secret place of the Almighty, and your life is dead, and you are hid where? In Christ, where? In God. Hallelujah! How can He get to you? Verse 8, only with thine eyes, you're going to see it, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil, everybody say no evil, no evil. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So let it come. I'm bringing it. I know that the Word of God brings the tribulation. Jesus said it. Did He not say that? When will the end come? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached. When the truth is really told. Then shall the end come. Not until and not before. Psalms 37. I'm just about done. Has this been okay?
Yeah.
Have you saw something you've never seen before? Is it making sense? You got a brand new Bible in your lap now. Brand new one. Things will make sense that have never made sense to you before. You will try to disprove what you're hearing. But the more you dig, the more you'll find its truth. You know why? The more you look at truth, the stronger it gets. The more you look at tradition, the weaker it gets. And it will finally crumble in your mind. Psalms 37. I'm going to read the whole thing. All 40 verses. He says, worry, right?
No.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be taken, cut down, like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou, what?
Dwell.
And the what? In heaven?
Land.
Dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You got to hide in the secret place. You got to be dead and your life hid with Christ in God. This is not just for anybody. Do you see why I teach and I preach maturity? 6 months, that's all you've heard. Grow up, grow up, grow up. You've never heard me say get ready to go. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. It might be dark to the rest of the world, but there's two groups of people in the world.
Yeah.
Right now, on the other side of this earth, Australia. Is it light or dark? It's dark. It's a principle in God's Word. Light and darkness at the same time. Isaiah 60 says, for you to arise and shine, for your light is come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. There is a people who have gross darkness on their life right now. But you're rising and shining. Why? Because your light is coming. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him and who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be what? Cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? They shall what? Inherit what? The earth. Blessed is the meek, for he shall inherit heaven. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possessions. Just over in the glory land. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall what? Inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him who saith that his day is coming. Drop down to verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord shall what? Uphold the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be how long? Forever. You mean you're not going to leave here for 7 years and come back? Huh? That's what you've been taught? How long? Come on.
Forever.
They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine they shall be what? Satisfied. But the wicked shall what? Perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away? The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall what? Inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall what? Taken. Who's taken and who's left? Hey, are you getting it?
Amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Boy, don't we just pull out our scriptures? We pull out our favorite ones and we use them. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous, what?
Forsaken,
nor his seed begging, what? Bread. And Revelation talks about how much bread's going to cost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The mentality of the Christian world today is, Lord, you got to come and get me, because I'm just too weak. And God knows that mark of the beast comes, I know I'm going to have to take it. And the church is just so weak. Poor thing. Well, if you're part of a fellowship like that, I really advise you to get out of it. Because he's not coming after that. He says, when I'm coming and I'll be presented, I'll present to myself a glorious bride, without spot, without wrinkle. Poor church. God's people have never been poor. God's people have never begged bread. The righteous has never been forsaken. And how many things will he deliver you out of? All of them. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment. He loves to judge it. But he can't come right now. He'd be judging me and you. And forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Now, is the tribulation still bothering you like it was bothering you when you came in? Now, that's my point right now. I wanted to show you that we're not going, we're staying. But I wanted you to see that no matter what comes, you're protected. And I'll get into this more tonight. Preserved forever, but the seed, is that what I'm talking about? The seed of the wicked shall be raptured. The righteous shall inherit what? The land, and dwell therein for how long? Ever. Verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep him his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit what? What is your inheritance? Verse 37. Mark the what kind of man? What have I been preaching to you? Perfect man. Mark that perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Verse 39. For the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen. Did that help you?
Amen.
Now let's go to Luke real fast. And I'm trying to get through. I just want to make sure that I give you an overview of what we're doing. Luke 21. All right, let's see if this pattern holds true. I don't know where I want to start. I'll just get you this one verse and let you go. In these verses in 21, it's a parallel with Matthew 24, the end times. And he talks about kingdom rising against kingdom, nation against nation. He talks about great earthquakes and pestilences. He talks about all those things. I get most of these chapter verses tonight, but I want verse 18. He goes through all that list of all those things that's going to happen. And in verse 18, he says, is it in red?
Yes.
Who's talking?
Jesus.
But there shall not an hair of your head perish. Now, if you read back through all those verses, you'll find what's coming in the straight traditional ways of teaching. If you take it, and if you want to be taught it that way, the Bible either says that or it doesn't. Does it say that? So you see what Jesus said is there will be wars, there'll be Armageddons, there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be pestilences, there'll be famines, but be not troubled. The end is not yet. And then he says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Now, either the Bible says that or it doesn't. Now, give you this back over to the book of John, and this scripture now will make sense to you. And this will be the last one. John 17. Jesus, in his priestly prayer, he's just before now being crucified. He's telling his disciples the very most important things that he could possibly tell them. He's telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's telling them about end times, and now he's praying. And in verse 15, read that with me. Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. How many times have you read that scripture and just skipped right over it because you really couldn't make it make sense? Does it make sense now? Now, teaching this type of teaching is difficult on your pastor. I think you understand why. It is very against what you've always been told. And that's why I made sure that you would let the Word be the final word. Let the Word of God make the decision. What I have showed you is truth. The Word is truth. You have a brand new Bible in your lap. You'll be surprised now at the scriptures that will just open up to you and make sense. I will get into 1 Thessalonians tonight, 4:16 to the end of the chapter, where the catching away happens. I'll give you some insights there. We'll look at Greek words. We'll see the Greek word harpazo, which means the snatching away. We'll see the word meet, where we meet the Lord. We'll see the word air. We'll see these words and how it will go right along with what you've heard this morning. We'll cover it. I think we'll answer your questions. I want to look at some scriptures that teach, that people draw from the basic traditional rapture teaching. But let me just share this with you, and then we're gone. The reason that this is an enemy to me is because I honestly feel that there is no other teaching in Christendom that gives us a false hope, that tells us that we don't have to mature, that we don't have to conform to the image, that we don't have to be like Him, that we don't have to sit under ministry of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, that tells us that we don't have to do these things because when He's coming, we're all going anyway. And this is really an enemy to me, and I really cover it up well. I think I do. Now, she doesn't. She thinks that I'm arrogant, maybe is a good word. But I really, it's an enemy to me. Because to me, it's a false teaching. Your hope is not in His coming. Your hope resides within you. The hope of glory lives in you. Amen. And then we'll look at this one, of course, too, also in this light. In 1 John 3, 1, 2, and 3, it says that he that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Speaking of Jesus. For we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now see how that makes sense now? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Stand. How many of you would say, Delbert, I'm not totally in agreement, I'm not asking you to totally agree with me, I present a truth. But how many of you would say, Delbert, I see what you're saying, and it has opened up a light to me. It's really given me some thoughts that I have never had before. It's really given me a new look at my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand now why it is so ultimately important that I mature as a Christian. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen.